Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here's once more and again that God has allowed us to meet here on Wednesday night for Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and always I'm very honored and privileged that God has allowed me to come before his people. I thank God for each and every one of you, and I pray that the word of God be indwelled within you, that you could begin to use it for your daily living. You know, God is an awesome God. He reigns with power from above. He has all wisdom, all power, and all love. You know, our God is truly an awesome God. As always, I like to thank God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost to know that he can have his way with this lesson tonight. I don't take it lightly, and there's no way humanly possible that I would know the needs of the people that are calling in. I don't know everybody's situation, circumstances, but I know God is the answer to no matter what the question is. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule week after week to come and share the word of God with us. So at this time, I want you to know so you could get your Bibles out. We're going to be coming from 2 Peter. We're going to be doing verses 10 through 18. And the lesson title is Only What You Do for Christ Will Last. And at this time, I see that my grandson Madison has called in. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play a song to get us there. And a song is so befitting for tonight because the name of the song is Only What You Do for Christ Will Last. And once the song is finished playing, I'll come back. We'll have prayer from Madison and anybody else who would like to pray. And then we'll go into the lessons. So listen to this song.
Oh,
And that song was Only What You Do for Christ Will Last. You know, the words of the song were so true. He said you could have cathedrals and you could speak with elegance, but you must be born again. And then only what you do for Christ will last. I can see in the studio now that several more callers have come in, so I want to give them a chance to get their Bibles and turn to the book of Peter, 2 Peter, verses 10 through 18. Some of the callers on the line I know was with me on Sunday when I brought the message to church and at the church. And it's the same lesson, but God has something new all the time. So even the ones that may have heard it on Sunday, listen, because God has something new today for you as well. And again, that's 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 18. And at this time, I see that my grandson Madison has called in. And as always, I'm elated and so excited when he do. And he's always willing to pray, and he's always willing to share a word of God. If he keep it up, I think God's gonna have wonderful things in store for him, because that's what God does with the faithful. Madison, you on the line?
Yes.
Would you like to say anything before you pray to the people?
No, ma'am.
Well, you could go ahead and pray.
God, thank you for another day, another Wednesday of this whole week, another time to study about you and your history. Please open up our ears that we get every single detail about you and this learning tonight. Thank you for allowing us to be able to listen right now at 8. Thank you, and please listen to us while we're learning about you, and please thank us while we get to heaven. Make sure that we do good right now, that we're able to stick with you and not go on the bad path. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. If you can listen, I know it's a school night, and you probably have to do some stuff to get ready for school, but I just want you to know that, you know, I'm very proud of you. I thank God for allowing you to love him like you do, and I just pray that you continue on the road that you're going, because God will not fail you. And you have to remember in life, there's a lot of things that you can do. But always when you make a decision, realize that only what you do for Christ will last. And if you do that in your life, you'll have success in all the things that you do, all your heart's desire. God promised that in his word. And again, Madison, I say thank you, and you be blessed. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. And that was Madison Chambers, my grandson, and he's 10 years old. And we're going to go ahead and start with the lesson. You know, when you read scriptures or study the Bible, whenever you read, I don't care if it's a chapter, a verse, a line, a sentence, you should ask yourself, what is God saying to me? Everything that God inspired man to write in the Bible, he had each and every one of us in mind. And the things that he did and said to the different men and women of God, he's also saying that to you. So you should ask yourself, what is God saying to me and why? You should always want to know who wrote the book and who they were writing it to. And before you stop studying, you should say, how can I apply this to my life? You see, the Bible is God himself talking to us. And he uses everything that he created to reveal what we should do and not do. You see, God gives us examples all throughout the Bible so that we can learn and gain or lose by others' mistakes. What I'm saying is, if somebody was punished or somebody wasn't doing the right things of God and God turned their back on them, all through our lives, if we learn to learn from others' mistakes, we probably won't have to make the same mistakes again. We know certain things and certain people, the way they live and the things they do, we know where it got them. But if we decide to do the same things that they're doing, we're going to get what they got. And then if we look at successful people who have trusted God and we see how God elevate them from height to height, you know, from new depths and take them to all kind of places that they never thought they would be able to go, then we can learn from that as well. And whatever they were doing, you try to do it. And remember, the best example that God has given us was God himself wrapped up in flesh and incarnated into Jesus Christ and walked the earth to show us how to live. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. You know, Jesus was always caught in places where people thought he shouldn't be. He was either eating at a sinner's house or he was going through Samarian where the Jews just didn't feel like it wasn't good enough for them to pass through there. But you see, Jesus wanted to touch everybody. And that's how we have to be in our lives. We have to stop doing things only for people who we like. We have to stop trying to give a helping hand only to those we love. You see, what God has given us, it's not just for us. It's for us, for everybody. And we can remember that from the examples of Jesus Christ. After reading these verses, the questions that I stated earlier made me reflect. And I thought about who wrote it, and it was Peter. And I thought about the other things that I asked you to think about. What is God saying to me and why he wrote it? And, you know, the day of the lesson is only what you do for Christ will last. So this let me know that I need to do the things of God that they can last. When you say last for when? But when we get through with the lesson, you'll know. So when I looked at Peter, I know that Peter wrote 2 Peter, which is the lesson coming from the book tonight, from the book where the lesson is coming from tonight. It was several years after he had first met Jesus. You know, this is when Peter is really kind of at the end, but it was years after he had met Jesus. And this was the last known writing of Peter, because not so long after this, he was martyred for his strong conviction for the gospel of Jesus. So, you know, when we say someone was marred, we know that usually represents that somebody, well, it really is not just for Christ, but it's really when a person dies for their strong convictions. But in our case as Christians, the martyrs that we know was marred for their strong conviction for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we look at the life of Peter, we will realize that Peter was very enthusiastic. He was strong-willed, impulsive, at times arrogant, and sometimes cocky. Did y'all know that about Peter? And if you didn't, you know tonight. But that's the kind of character that Peter was. But guess what? When God met him, he knew he was strong-willed, impulsive. At times he was arrogant, and sometimes he was cocky. But guess what? Jesus chose him. Peter didn't go looking for God. God came looking for him. And God knew everything that was in Peter, his good, his bad, and his ugly. So we have to realize that God got something for all of us. God is looking for all of us. God came looking for all of us, and God got something for all of us to do. We may not be a Peter, but you could be the best you can be. But with all his strength, Peter had several failures in his life. You see, Peter was the one who rebuked Jesus when Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer. You see, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he was telling them that he would suffer and that he would be killed by crucifixion. But in 3 days he would rise, and Peter wasn't ready for this. He just didn't want to hear it. So what he did, he just didn't like it, and he rebuked Jesus. You see, Peter was the one that cut the soldier's ear off, and he thought that he was right. You see, Peter was also the one that began to walk on water, and at some point in the journey, he sank. You see, that same Peter is the one that denied Jesus 3 times. That's some of the things in the life of Peter. You know, if we all look back over our life and we really think things over, we can see when we wasn't where we at now. You know, that's why so many people say the things I used to do, I don't do no more. But you got to know that, you know, we have to keep on keeping on. It's not over until God says it's over. And until it's over, you still have to keep doing the things of God, because only what you do for Christ will last. You see, Peter was the one that took his eyes off of Jesus. He, you know, did this and he did that. That was Peter. Remember, he was arrogant and he was cocky. Yeah, Peter. Through it all, Peter kept pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God sometime in our lives. And if you haven't, keep living, you will. But continue to grow in grace in the knowledge of God. That's what Peter did. You see, Peter kept going. He made mistakes, but he kept going. And you see, at some point he became mature. And at that time he was reminiscing, and he could look back over his life. And he realized, you see, when I rebuked Jesus, I was leaning to my own understanding. You know, the Bible teaches us not to lean to our own understanding. But that's what Peter realized he was doing. And you see, when he cut the soldier's ear off, he realized now that battle was not his, but it belonged to the Lord. You see, the Lord will fight your battles if you let him. And Jesus just picked the man up, put it back where it belonged. You see, when Peter sank, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. You see, that whenever we're going and through life and trying to make decisions and doing what we're doing and leaning to our own understanding and trying to fight the battles ourselves, you know, that causes us to take our eyes off of Jesus. And when Peter did this, he sank. You see, when he denied Jesus 3 times, it was because of fear. But through it all, the Lord, who chose him before the foundation of the world, continued to mold him into who he is now. You see? And you see, when he denied Jesus 3 times because of fear, you know, we know from the scripture. You know, we are so blessed to have scripture, and we know things. Peter wrote this, so he didn't have this to read. But how blessed are you to be able to pick up the Bible containing 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And God had inspired men to write it for you. See, Peter didn't have that. But you see, we know, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And if Peter could have just held on to the confession of his faith, he would have made it through. And he did make it through. But maybe he might have not had all of those roadblocks in his life. But through it all, God, who had an intended purpose for Peter before the foundation of the world, continued to mold and shape Peter into his intended purpose. You see, that's what God is doing with your life, each and every one of us. God is constantly molding us into his intended purpose. God is a God of purpose. God didn't make anything without a purpose. He made flowers to give oxygen. He had little bitty bugs to eat other little bitty bugs. You know, God does everything for a purpose because he's a purposeful God. But through it all, he kept molding Peter. You see, Peter now knows Jeremiah. See, Jeremiah 29:11 was there because, you know, the book of Jeremiah is in the Old Testament, and that's what they used to read in the synagogues and stuff. And they looked and they studied the prophets, and Jeremiah was a prophet, and he wrote 29:11, which says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." You see, right now in Peter's life, he reflected on that. And the Holy Ghost had came, and the Holy Ghost had given him illumination and a revelation of the fact what the prophet had said of the in the days of old, and he reflected on it, and he knew the thoughts that God had to him, towards him. But you see, Jeremiah 29:11 just wasn't for Peter, it's for you. And it says, I'm going to tell you again, because this is a message for, through the prophets to God, from God to you. Jeremiah 29:11 say, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." And this is God speaking, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. You see, God had a master plan for all, has a master plan for all of our lives. He is in total control, and he's willing and confident. He is willing and able. And you should be confident that the work that he has begun in you, he is able to perform it until the day that Jesus Christ come back. That's what the word says. Do you believe it? Do you know it? You see, we see that the word of God, which gives us knowledge of God, and the grace of God, which is activated by faith in Christ. And the next thing is you have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide. And we see when Peter understood that he needed the knowledge of God and the grace of God by faith, and he allowed the Holy Spirit to guide him, came matured. He grew in grace. He had become a matured Christian. And I want to tell you tonight, the same thing that God did for Peter, he will do for you. When we look at the scripture, several things are noted. We know that Peter's life will be short-lived because he expressed it in 1 Peter. Go back and read Peter 1 and 2. You see, Peter is saying, please, please get it right for your sake and your Christian growth. And I'm going to start with the scripture, and I'm going to start in the 10th verse. In the 10th verse, I'm going to read the 10th, 11th, and 12. We're going to expound on it, and we'll go to the next one. And it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," this is what he says, "what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" He's saying all of this stuff. Let me finish reading because I'm ready to jump in it right now. He said, after he tell you all is going to pass away, what manner of person you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. And 12 say, looking for and hasten unto the coming of the day of our Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's scripture. What he's saying? The day of our Lord, you have to know whenever you see the day of our Lord, that means when it's all over. And that means when Jesus is going to come back again. I know you guys know Jesus is coming back, and they use the phrase the day of our Lord. But they tell us that he's going to come back, that Jesus is coming back, but no man knows the hour. Then the question he asks, while waiting for his return, since we realize that's what's happening, what manner of people you ought to be. Now, that's deep. We living on earth. We know we all have to die. We know Jesus is coming back. And he's saying, until while you're waiting, and you should be waiting with expectation, while you're waiting for Jesus to come back, because until Jesus has to come back and take off our corruptible and give us incorruptible bodies so that we can live with him through all eternity. And that's our hope. That's our hope in salvation. That's what we live for, but most of us just set our sights on the things we could see, touch, feel, and eat right now. And yeah, we have to eat. Yes, we have to feel. Yes, we have to do all of that. But if you got 24 hours in a day and you use 23 to feed that, what is happening? You got 1 hour left. You know, just like you feed your spirit, your physical bodies, you got to take care of your spirit. You are made up of flesh and spirit. You know, and you got to ask yourself, which one are you feeding the most? You see, he goes on to say that as we know it will pass away. So this lets us know only what you do for Christ will last, because he's saying everything as we know it is going to be gone. And what are you doing with what Jesus has given to you in your hand? God could have saved us and took us straight to heaven, or to the prepared place he prepared for us. But God wants to look at his creation. He wants, you know, it was a part of his plan that we live and we grow in grace and we grow in the knowledge of God and we become strong Christians and we start working for God and reverencing God and obeying God and submitting unto God. He wants to see that happening. So if you're a Christian, you accepted Christ, you got eternal life. And you're looking for salvation, but I want you to know salvation is right here too. Salvation means to be saved. So we are being saved daily in our Christian life. But you have to say and ask yourself, what are you doing with what Jesus has given you? You see, we are all stewards, and a steward is someone that takes care of something that belongs to someone else, and that someone is God, in our case, as Christians. And you ask yourself, what have you done for God lately? Time, your resources, your gifts, and your talents. I want to stop right here and just let y'all know, we are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. Oh, we don't need to do this. Oh, that is not necessary. That's just too much. God is thus and so, or God is this and that. You got to line that up with the word of God, because anything you saying that's not in the will or in the word of God, you are only fooling yourself, and you think you afforded the privilege that you have an answer that you haven't even researched. Come on now. I don't have to go to church because church don't save you. And you're right, church don't save you. But I tell you one thing, Jesus ordained the church. He orchestrated the church. And he told his same Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. So you can't tell me something that Jesus did or thought necessary to do. And remember, he didn't do it for you because he's sitting with the Father at the right hand interceding on our behalf. But he thought it was necessary for us down here on earth. And you say, you know, the people in the church ain't right. Maybe not, but the people ain't on your job ain't right either, but you keep going. Every time I hear somebody, you know, and I'm not saying you're supposed to stay with church. That's why God got so many churches. Ain't nobody never told you had to stay at one church. You find a church that worked with you. And then I'll tell you this, and I like to tell people this all the time. If you find a perfect church with perfect people in it, which some of us is trying to find, I believe that there is such a thing. When you find that perfect church with perfect people in it, please don't share the information with me. Because as soon as I go there, it will not be perfect anymore. You see, some people believe that they have time to accept Christ as their Savior. And others that are saved think they have time to get it right. And in the meantime, they lean to their own understanding, making it up as they go. And the Bible says, this is so profound. What happens to these people is they will be ever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. And these Christians and these people who won't have Christian growth, when somebody look at them, you could just call them shortly. And you call them short because, you know, they so low in their growth. And they have the audacity. This is the thing that get me. They have the audacity to be talking loud and saying nothing. Just because we love the Lord, it don't exempt us from pain. Because it's a part of his master plan. And many times he uses it to mature us. I'm not talking about the self-inflicted pain. But leaning to your own understanding and making it up as you go and ever learning and not coming into the knowledge of the truth and think you do. I'm not talking about that pain. But the pain that God has in his master plan that is used to mature us. You see, it never comes. It's not what comes our way in life, but who we go through it with, and his name is Jesus. We should never stop growing in God's word, his will, and his work. I came to tell you tonight that it's a process, and we must realize that it is not a destination. Because while we're alive, it is a journey, and we must keep going forward in the things of God. To know this, we need the knowledge of God. So everybody who's not reading your Bible, you know who you are. I couldn't call names if I wanted to. And don't get me wrong. I don't think none of us read the Bible and study as much as we do. But there's a lot of people who don't do it at all. And yet they have the audacity to want to talk about the things of God. If you're not reading the Bible, if you're not reading the Word of God, you only speaking things that you heard somebody else saying. God forbid if they're saying it wrong, you will too. And even though you heard what they said and you could articulate it and you could express it, you don't have the truth or the illumination or the revelation in it because it's in your head. You have to find a way to get it in your heart. And you see verses 13 and 14 say, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwell righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, he's saying, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. What I'm saying right here, what this scripture is saying, he's saying in the previous verses, he told us that everything is going to be dissolved and burned away. You know, when God said, when with the flood of Noah came, and he said, I'll never destroy the world again by water, by flood, water. He said, but I will do it by fire. Plenty of people believe, like the day of Noah when he destroyed the world, that he would do it again, you know, and everybody would die except whoever he chose. But what he's saying is, when he come back in the day of our Lord that he was talking about, when he comes and he gather his people and everything has happened, and before we go into eternity, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And they say that's what we should be looking forward to. But you can't look forward to it if you don't know it's going to happen. But they say, you know, at that time, be diligent to be found of him in peace. You see, we see that God has a promise. Now, he said all of this is going to happen. He's going to destroy everything. But he has a promise for a new heaven and a new earth, and advise us to diligently grow so that we may be found in peace with him. So even though he's going to, you know, everything is going to pass away by fire, he's going to put a new heaven and a new earth for us to live in, because he said what he's going to do, and that's the promise. God don't leave you in the dark. And 15 says, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. This is what it's saying. You know how plenty of people think they're getting away, and plenty of people wonder when they're doing the right thing? You know, I paid my tithes. Why am I car broke? You know, I go to church every Sunday. Why, you know, my children sick? You know, and I do this. When they say stuff like that, I, they saying some others don't, but look like they all right. But this word right here tell us, and the account that the long-suffering our Lord is salvation. It is God's will that everybody be saved, and God is not slow to wrath. God put pain on people, if y'all go look in the Bible. But you see, God has a master plan, and he's working it at his own time, because he's the one that got to orchestrate everything and allow it. And he made his plan before the foundation of the world, and he keeps the creator time. So his time is not your time. And then you think God is slow to do wrath. The Bible and Peter, right before that, or right after what I'm doing tonight, said a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 days a year with the Lord. So we ain't reached no 1,000. So if it's one day you think God is slow to take care of your enemies, you think God is slow to when white people in black, when white people don't like black people, or black people don't like white people, discrimination. You know, God is slow in all of this. God is slow with the injustice. God got a perfect timetable, and God's gonna do what he do, when he do it, how he do it, why he do it, and that's that. But he's telling you that God's patience and long suffering is salvation. Even our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. As they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. What he's saying? God is not slow to take care of business, because he's an on-time God. Do you believe it? But it is God's will that everyone have a chance to be saved. Come on now, y'all. That's why we have to go out and evangelize, and even if you don't want to be on the corner, and even if you don't want to be here and there, everybody can do something somewhere wherever they are in their life. Because God said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and he wants us to help every help to reach everybody so that they can have an opportunity to be saved, to choose Christ or not to. Because Jesus said he won't come back until everybody has had a chance to hear. Will anybody hear from you? And God is also taking part in our Christian growth daily, that we could be molded into the intended purpose that he had for our lives. You know, I don't know how true it is, you know, and when I read it and study it, or the Holy Ghost give it to me, I share it with you guys. But some people say you'll never die until you have fulfilled your purpose. And God is still molding us in our Christian walk. That's why we are still here, because God has a purpose for us. You see, Peter also mentioned Paul in his writings. And the reason he mentioned Paul and he said his epistle is a letter. We know that Paul wrote 13 books in the Bible, and the books were called letters, and they were called epistles. And Paul was very learned in the Bible, and Paul taught us a lot of things. So Peter is saying, even as Paul wrote all these things, he said, not just what I'm saying right now. I'm asking you to take into account everything that Paul said as well. And, of course, all scriptures he come and say, and other scriptures, so that you may be where you need to be, that you can grow. Remember, Peter was about to be killed. He already spoke about it. And this is his last chance to get it from you. Can you imagine if you knew you was going to be killed in a couple of days and you were speaking to your children or your parents or your friends or your neighbors, how you would be emphasizing so much, whatever you would be emphasizing. And that's what these scriptures we studied tonight. That's why Peter is saying so much. And he's crying out that you get it right for your own self's sake. You see, and if we go to 17 and 18, he says, ye therefore, beloved, he's humbling himself and trying to really get your attention. You know, he said, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also be led away with error of the wicked. Fall from your steadfastness. What he's saying right there? He said, you got to know the word for yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study the word, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said, you got to get it like that for your own self, because if you don't, it will be easy for you to be led astray. It will be easy for you to fall away from your steadfastness. I'm going to give you the best example, and I'm going to move on. How can a person be Baptist for 50 years and a Jehovah's Witness knock on the door and they change and convert into Jehovah's Witness? Jehovah's Witness don't believe that Jesus is a Savior. So you think they was just had never accepted him or didn't understand it, or they was learning but they never came into the knowledge of the truth, and they take the Jehovah's Witness information as the truth? How can a man be in a church and be a deacon for 10 years and go to prison, and he hear a word of the Muslim Muhammad speaks and he become a Muslim? You see, he's turning away from his steadfastness. Was he ever there? Was he ever saved? Did he ever truly believe? But he's telling you, you better stay in the word, rightly divide the word, study the word, and grow in the word, that you may not be, you know, taken away in error. And it happened to the best of them. Don't think it can't happen to you. Glory be to God, and you pray and read and study that it won't happen to you. 18 says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Look how this is last verse. Now, I'm going to read this again. You see what he said after he said all of that? But look what he said. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Let me tell you this. You see, when the word but starts a sentence, the word but, when it starts a sentence, it is usually reiterating something that has already been said. You see, Peter starts his sentence with but, and he's reiterating. He said, everything that I had said to you, everything that Paul said to you, everything. He said, but everything that you heard, what you should do is grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he said, to him be the glory. Because if you do that and you grow in grace, then God will get the glory now and forevermore. That's when we're going to get to eternity. That's when our salvation going to be poured on us. That's when we're going to be in that new heaven and new earth. God's got to get the glory here, and he's going to get the glory there. But that's what Peter is saying. You see, therefore, and then he said, therefore, since you know these things, don't continue to be just a hearer of the word, but become a doer of the word. You got to stop allowing the word of God to get stuck in your head and stay there. You must submit and obey and learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit for illumination and revelation so that the word can enter your heart. It don't count when it's in your head. Change take place in the heart where the Holy Ghost dwells. And finally, he said, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our God. Peter lets us know that it's all about growth. You look back over your life, and if you're the same way you was 3 years ago, something ain't right. With your relationship with God, with your studying the Bible, if your studying the Bible is at the same level for the last 10 years, you could ask yourself a question. Come on now. Y'all, you know, I don't even know who on the phone, so I ain't talking to nobody special, and I don't even, you know, not calling out. I'm just saying examine yourself. Christian growth is necessary for our walk with God. God has done his part in providing us with everything we will ever need to live a righteous life. You know, God never asks us to do something without providing first the evidence that it is true. Come on now. What you say that? What, do you know that he's a healer? Do you know he's a way maker? Because he even gave us evidence of that. You have evidence in your life when God done brought you through something, when God done healed you, when God done answered your prayer. That's the evidence that is true. And then the provisions to accomplish it. Growing is not as hard as you think. God, you know, it's not as hard as you think. God will and is doing the work in you. But you have to submit and obey and cooperate. This was a scripture I learned a long time ago, and it's Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13 lets us know, for it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. I read that. I entered into rest because it's not about me. It's about God. And I'm saying all this to y'all, but I could tell you, I believe the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, but I haven't achieved it yet. But I'm still trying to grow. I'm still trying to get rid of things that shouldn't be in my life. I'm still trying to press for the mark of the high calling, but I'm not going to turn back, no matter what state I'm in. And I'm leaning and depending on God to do what he said in his word. Once you receive salvation, this is not the end, but it's the beginning of our lifelong journey. To grow, we must continue in the things of God that is written in the word of God for our daily instruction, for our daily living. We must not allow our flesh, which the Bible defines as the world views, to become our compass. There are no microwave recipes, no quick fixes, no magic potion, no timeouts, no vacation, no leave of absence. And you can't take it and put it on a shelf and take it down when you get ready, because you afforded the privilege to do that. If you think you so much all totally in control of your life, then God lets you do what you do, and then you get what you got. But God does his part. And you know, you could bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Let me just tell you this. Grace is God's richest I'm going to read it again. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, by faith you receive the grace of God. You see, the grace of God, grace is God giving his greatest pleasures to the least deserving, which is each and every one of us. We have to realize that we are in the world, but not of the world. When we came to Christ, just as we were babes. And as we grew in the things of Christ, we became mature. It's a process, people, but you got to put in the work. You accepted Christ, and after you did that, you have to evaluate what you did since then, what you did for God lately. What have you, how have you grown? Because it's a process. Change is inevitable, but growth is an option. Growing in grace and the knowledge of God is a choice, and it's up to you how far and fast you travel. That's why the Bible said the last could be first and the first be last. I see somebody come in and they give their life to Christ and they take off all the shackles of their feet. It don't happen the same way for everybody, but I have seen it happen. And that's why I say the last could be first and the first could be last. You see, you may know of God, but do you really know God? And if you don't, it should be your goal. You have to put in the work. You see, you know, when I go to Sunday school, I learn certain things about God. And I keep on going. And I go to church and, you know, Sunday services to uplift you. And I get uplifted a little bit, you know. You know, but when I went to Sunday school a long time ago, I learned that I was an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And that I was a child of God. That's, you know, in the early ages in Sunday school. If you're not going to Sunday school, check it out. And then I went to, so I constantly go to Bible study because, you know, I'm trying to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. You can't have too much. And God only reveals himself when he's ready. So God is giving out revelation all the time. So if you got the last revelation, you got the last time you went. You know, there's so much revelation you don't have. You know, and I went to Bible study, and I learned that, you know, God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And he told me if I kept growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, one day I might be the lender and not the borrower. You know, studying the word of God, it gives me the confidence and assurance that if God is for me, who could be against me? And it lets me know that all things will work out together for my good if I love him. You know, meditation on the word of God is where the overflow comes from. You know, when you walk and talking and driving and you thinking about God and you just thinking and thinking and thinking, that's where your overflow is going to come from. And you see, when you take time and pray, it is you talking to God and waiting for him to speak to you. And as I close tonight, I want you to know that this world doesn't love anybody. And we should stop acting like it's our friend. It gives us gimmick of how to get fast, how to cheat, how to walk in pride, how to look good in the eyes of people. People ain't studying about you. And you see, that's the things that Satan do. Satan take your hand and dance you all around. And I guarantee you when he done used you up, he's going to drop you like a hot potato. And you standing around all alone and everything you thought you had to achieve, sometime you lose it. This world is not your friend. So please don't govern your life by world standards, which are the things of the flesh. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Just seek him. Grow in grace and the knowledge of God. And what he promised? He promised that all these things shall be added unto you. Let your light so shine. that when the master returns, because see, Jesus is coming back, he will be able to say, my good and faithful servant, you never stop growing in God's word, his will, and his work. You held on to the confession of your faith. You accepted his son, and he got the glory. And he will say at that time, well done, because only what you did for me lasted. And that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that each and every one of you is encouraged. I pray that it's, you know, a tool for us to evaluate ourselves. You know, we have to evaluate ourselves all the time, because the less you inspect yourself, the less you should and will expect of yourself. You have to gut, you know, you have to line yourself up with Jesus Christ, which is our example, and see how you're measuring up sometimes. Because if you never do that, wherever you're at, that's just where you're at, and that's probably where you're going to stay, because you're not, you know, you ain't making a plan and working a plan. You don't set a goal and try to get there. You just going through it. That's what you're doing. So it's up to you to do with the word of God that came from you towards you today through the Holy Ghost. You know, it's not about me. But, you know, it's a reason why each and every one of you, you know, got on the phone, and it's a reason why the Holy Ghost is orchestrating and sending this message out. We do what we do. And we thank God that we got it. We thank God that I see where I need to improve. I'm talking about me now. I thank God for the word of God and the directions of the Holy Ghost, where I could, you know, try to be better tomorrow than I was today. But that's the lesson for tonight. And as always, I'm asking if anybody would like to say anything, if they would like to add anything, if they would like to make a comment, if they would like to pray, you know, anything you may want to say. Remember, this is not my Bible study, it's our Bible study. You know, and sometimes you may have something to say that someone really needs. But that's our lesson for tonight. So it is now 9:27. I always try to finish in 1 hour. I know a lot of people like the music, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us out in prayer, because, you know, there's a blessing and a benediction. So I don't never want to hold you guys up and you have to hang up before the benediction, because I'm telling you there's blessing and a benediction. When you're at church and you walk out before the church end, you know, for whatever reason, there's blessing and a benediction. So at this time, since no one has anything to say, I'm going to do the benediction. Oh, I got a caller would like to speak. Caller, the number is 504-947-9988. You can speak now. Caller. It may have been pressed by error. Anyone else would like to say anything? I have a caller that would like to say something. Caller, your number is 504-237-60. You could speak at this time.
Yes, thank you, Diane, for the good message tonight. It was very nice. I appreciate it. It touched my soul. And just to sit and listen to you, I really appreciate every word that you give, and thank you for the word tonight. Bless you. Amen.
I thank you so much for that word of encouragement. And that was Miss Sandra, right? Yeah. I just thank you for the words of encouragement. At this time, we're going to have the benediction prayer. And after that, I will play some music. In the meantime, while the music is going forward, if someone, you know, would like to say something, you know, at that time, I can still open a mic and let you speak. But right now, we're going to the throne of God. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, all I could say is thank you. Thank you for allowing all of us to come together again on Wednesday night. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your Son, and I thank you for your Spirit. Lord, I thank you for each and every caller that called, dear God, and I'm asking that you bless them, dear God, and the blessings that they are in need of. Lord, I pray that the word don't stay in their head but go in their heart, and that the Holy Ghost touch, illuminate, and revelate it to them, that they won't be someone ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth. Give them truth in the word that came just now, dear God. Let your word not be returned void. Touch each and every one of them, God, in a special way. That you can, and continue to mold them into the intended purpose that you have for their lives. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the homes that's represented here. Look down upon their finances, dear God, and look down upon their health, dear God, and look down upon the things that they're in need of, dear God, and give them spiritual blessings as well so that they may grow. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you that we have it to look and to use, and your Son being the example for us to live by. God, I just thank you, because what would we do without you? I thank you for the promise that you're coming back for your people. Thank you, dear God. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask you in Jesus' name. But Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon our city, our state, and our government. Look down upon our president, dear God, because they're tearing him up on every side. But I know you're in control. I know you're in control of Missouri. I know you're in control of New York City. I know you're in control of everything. And we might ask the question, why? But, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know, I'm going to trust you. Look down upon our government and the new elected officials, dear God. You know, they may have an intention to do what they want to do, but we know you're in control. And we're going to hold on to the confession of our faith, dear God, that you are able and willing, and that you will take care of us, dear God, each and every one of us in the midst of the storms. But we got to know you, dear God. We got to hold on to your unchanging hand. Allow us, dear God, to hold on to your unchanging hand. Allow us to see you for ourselves, dear God. Allow us to know you in the pardon of our sins. Allow us, as Peter did, to repent, dear God, and come back in fellowship with you. Lord, we're going to be so careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory, because you're worthy. Because you're worthy. Lord, I entered your courts with thanksgiving in my heart, and I enter your gates with praise, because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. That's our lesson for tonight, and if anybody, before I start playing the music, would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. Remember, the people that's listening on the internet, if you would like to make a comment, you have to dial the number and then press the one button on your phone, and I could open the mic for you as well. I wanted to ask you guys a question before I ended the program tonight. Usually I'd be forgetting, but not next Wednesday, but I think the Wednesday after that is the day before Christmas. That's Christmas Eve. And I was wondering, I know a lot of ladies have to cook and people are very busy. I don't want to, you know, cancel the lesson. I know, you know, that's a busy time. So I was wondering if everybody would be in agreement and would like to do the lesson on that Tuesday night, which is the 23rd instead of the 24th, for me to know if you guys would like that. If you don't, you know, want to skip that week, we can do that as well. But I don't want to make the decision by myself, so that's why I'm coming to you guys. So if y'all would like to have the lesson on Tuesday night, instead of Christmas Eve, I need you to press the one buttons on your phone. And if y'all would like to skip the lesson, like I say, we can do that as well. I need you to press the one button on your phone. All right, I have one call. I pressed the button, and it may have been to do, to, you know, make say what you wanted to do, but I'm going to just make sure. Caller at 72970, did you want to say something, or you were just letting us know either to do it on a Tuesday or to not, you know, to skip that week?
Hi, this is Rianne.
Start over, baby.
Hi, this is Rianne. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good evening, everybody. I was just pressing the button, the one button, to vote to do it on the Tuesday.
And you're the only one pressed the button, so the majority wins. So I guess we'll do it on Tuesday. And whoever can come, they, you know, they'll come. Another thing, and thank you so much for responding, Rianne.
You're welcome.
I love you.
Love you, too.
And another thing that I wanted to ask you guys was, I'll do that next week. But that's the end of the lesson. We have done the benediction prayer. No one else has anything to say. So at this time, I'm going to play a song. Be blessed.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know exalt of faith. Come on and lift your voice.
The whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice.
Come on,
somebody.
And that's our program for tonight. I pray that you were blessed, that you were edified. I have a caller would like to talk. Call a 504-250. Your line is open.
Yes, I thank God for the word. I had to leave the phone a minute, have a family member in prayer. I want y'all to lift him up in prayer, and it means much for us to take care of our loved ones that are in the hospital, in the nursing home, because the Lord, I want y'all to know that the Lord prevented him from having his leg amputated. And if it wasn't for the family getting there in time, talking about God being on time for him, they would have amputated his leg. They amputated the toe, and then they said it was necessary to amputate all the way up to the knee. And when I went to visit, the circulation was moving. I thought it was the right leg instead of the left leg. And here it was the left leg, and the left leg was moving good. So if you don't have, you have someone that's in a nursing home or somewhere, like you say, we have to go and take care of one another and do God, to do the due diligence. And like you say, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Well, we're going to have to take the time out also to make sure we take care of our loved ones and our families, because anything could happen to them. Anything could happen to them. And I know God is a healer, just like you said. Jesus picked that ear up and put it right back on it. And the soldier was able to go on when he got angry and all so much what he did. But I asking you to lift me also up in prayer, because I had a fall, and really I had two falls. One on the step, and then I fell for my the bar stool sitting at my sink. And I know that God is a healer, but I want y'all to continue to pray. And those that have loved ones somewhere, go and visit them. Go check on them. Make sure things are going right for them, because if they're left any time alone, they'll come and they're just using people for guinea pigs. They're still doing it. And they may be even still, like they have the eyes and hearts and all that stuff on the black market, that all that stuff is still happening. You know, you don't know it until it happens and it's at your doorstep. But we need to pray one for another, and also pray for our country and the racial violence that's going on. I thank God for the Wednesday service, and because it's always a word for me, Sister Diane, you always bless my soul. I thank you, but y'all keep me in prayer, and also Clifford White.
Thank you so much, and I'm asking that everybody that heard us lift that up in prayer, because we come together, we are family. We are a Bible study family, and we should learn to be concerned about what others are going through. So in y'all prayer, lift, her name is Josie, and the other person, she said Clifford. Let me ask her the name, because I didn't write it down. What's the name of the guy, Josie?
Clifford White.
Mr. Clifford White. And when you pray, it's nice to call him by name. So that's Josie asking for prayer, and she asking us to pray for Clifford White. And that's our program for tonight. I pray that you were blessed. I pray that you were edified, that Satan was horrified, and God will be glorified through you, your action, your deeds, your talk, and your walk. Let your light so shine that men may see the good works and glorify the Father who lives within you. And I'm asking that you be blessed. And if the Lord say the same, I'll see you on next week. Goodbye, and have a great night.